Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Over the past century, South Dakotans have turned to SDSU Extension for information about crop and livestock production, as well as gardening, food preservation, and nutrition. SDSU Extension also has a long history of involvement with 4-H and youth development programs. A recent survey shows that even with the wide array of available sources these days, SDSU Extension remains an important place for research-based information, much of which can be found at igrow.org. This month marks the centennial of SDSU Extension, which was established back in 1914 under the Smith-Lever Act, a federal law establishing a system of cooperative extension services connected to land-grant universities like South Dakota State. Barry Dunn is Dean of the College of Agriculture and Biological Sciences and Director of SDSU Extension, and he joins us on the line. And Barry Dunn, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you, Carl. Thanks for having us.
Also with us is SDSU Extension Associate Director Carla Trotman, and thanks for joining the program as well. Well, before we talk about the work of SDSU Extension today, I'd like to go back to the beginnings. And Barry Dunn, what was the original purpose of the Cooperative Extension Services?
Well, as Carl, as part of the land-grant mission that Abraham Lincoln started with the Morrill Act in 1862 to bring opportunities for higher education to people of all walks of life and of stages, and really open the door for higher education to the common man. It was followed up some 20-some years later, 25 years later, with a part of the land grant mission to do research about agriculture and food and families, and establish the Agricultural Experiment Station. And actually, some 30 some years later, the third leg, the extension leg, was brought on board with the Smith-Lever Act, and that established extension service in the United States. And it really was the turning point to really bring opportunities for lifelong learning to all citizens of our state, but all across the nation. So it was really a culmination of taking education to the common man and men and women and children all across our state and our nation.
So really at the heart of the extension was to take, at least in the case of South Dakota, the research and the information that people at SDSU were getting, and then just making it possible for that information to be imparted or given to people all across the state, allowing them to use the information.
Right. No matter what happened here in Brookings or at the experiment stations across the state, if we didn't have a vehicle to get it to local communities and individuals, we really weren't able to do our job. So 100 years ago, they put in place this county-based system that included, well, it was a tripart collaboration between the federal government, the state government, and county governments to take all that knowledge and disseminate it and diffuse it through all of society. So it's really an exciting change.
Well, Carla Trotman, when we look at SDSU Extension today, how many people are involved, and how how does this information get to people across the state today, and how is it used?
Certainly. Well, our staffing pattern today, we have approximately 110 FTEs, full-time equivalent employees that work with an extension to some capacity, primarily either at a faculty level who have expertise in a specific field of study. We have approximately 45 field specialists who are based out at the community level at one of our 8 regional centers, who are all, again, working in collaboration with faculty members in a certain area of expertise. And then we have approximately 35 4-H youth program advisors, again, at the community level, at one of the county offices that we still have that are based specifically to help youth development and 4-H work happen at the most local level. So we're still carrying out the mission, the land-grant mission today, but it does look different from the the model of the system that was created 100 years ago, simply because society has changed and our ability to transfer that information and that education has changed with today's methods of communication and how people learn.
Well, Carla Troutman, you mentioned 4-H. Has that always been a part of the extension service and cooperative extension services?
It is. 4-H has been the youth development program of the United States Department of Agriculture and the Cooperative Extension System. That is our trademark youth development outreach vehicle that we have. And so 4-H has always been a part of the South Dakota landscape since 1914. And very strong program today. We have approximately 9,000 youth that are involved in what is the traditional 4-H program, the club program level at the community. But then we also have outreach programs that exist at the community level through schools, through after schools, through Boys and Girls Clubs, and we're reaching nearly 30,000 kids in that mechanism today in South Dakota. So it's really a thriving program for us.
In talking about the structure and some of the changes at SDSU Extension, Barry Dunn, 3 years ago, there was a major reorganization, partially because of funding, changes in funding from state and federal. I'm wondering if you've been able to measure 3 years later how much impact that change had on SDSU Extension.
Well, we have, Carl, and we just to do our homework and make sure we were on track, we did a third-party survey of South Dakotans and really touched about 500 people through a third-party unbiased survey of what they thought about South Dakota, and the results were very affirming that indeed the new structure that we put in place with field specialists at regional centers, 4-H still at the county level, and then a major move to disseminate information off in our website, igrow.org, really is working very well, and I'm just really excited about the results. Some 325,000 visits to igrow.org in the last calendar year, and which is just incredible growth, doubled from the year before, and continues to grow this year. Almost 700,000 page visits to that site where people got information. So it's you know, we're reaching many more people in many, many more different ways than we were in the older system, and so we're really pleased about that, and plan to continue growing that that operation. And we have mobile apps for iGrow and many of the specific information technologies that we have to offer on apps, and younger people know and gain information that way, and so we're very, very pleased.
So you have to stay up to date in how you disseminate information.
You know, you're exactly right. You know, we're in have just gone through the greatest change in information and how people learn and get information since the printing press. You know, so that early 2000s period where the World Wide Web was brought into play and brought into our lives, we've jumped on board in a big way, and it's really really working. And you know, we're each day we're challenging ourselves to make sure that the way we disseminate information is the way that people are seeking it, and we're very pleased with the results.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Barry Dunn, Director of SDSU Extension, and SDSU Extension Associate Director Carla Troutman. This month marks the 100th anniversary of SDSU Extension, established back in 1914 under the Smith-Lever Act, a federal law establishing a system of cooperative extension services connected to land-grant universities like South Dakota State. And Carla Troutman, is SDSU Extension, is it mostly concerned with agriculture, only concerned with agriculture? Maybe you can give me an idea of the scope of what is involved with SDSU Extension.
We have five what we call capstone program areas, or areas of emphasis of programmatic outreach to citizens of South Dakota. We have certainly a very diverse agricultural component in which we provide programs in livestock and agronomy and horticulture and other similar components of those sectors. But then we also have a very diverse program in youth development and 4-H. We also have a section in food and families in which we provide outreach in gerontology, in nutrition, food safety, and family resource management. We also have a community development program, and we also have a Native American outreach component. And we have three offices, one on each of the Indian reservations, so on Rosebud and Pine Ridge and on Cheyenne River. We have extension programs based there as well.
Has the mission, I know both of you were talking about the mission going back 100 years, has it essentially stayed the same, or over the century have a few things regarding that mission changed, Barry Dunn?
I think the mission is very much the same. If you read the initial language, it's actually quite encouraging how visionary folks were, Carl, about what needed to get disseminated to people and what the problems were, and so I think it's very much the same. And at its heart, I think what has changed, and certainly in South Dakota in a big way, is the delivery mechanism, and that's appropriate and very effective, and at a much lower cost than we had in the other model. So I think from a fiduciary responsibility as a state organization, I think we're doing our job. With a limited resource, we're reaching a tremendous number of people in a very, as Carla just described, very broad program areas, and we're doing it with up-to-date information as the world changes around us.
With the changes in agriculture, I'm assuming there's a lot to watch there as well. I'm wondering that I know that there have been so many changes in agriculture over the past century. Even the number of people involved in agriculture getting smaller. I'm wondering that, however, in South Dakota, agriculture is still a very important industry. If perhaps South Dakota's relationship with the Extension Service has changed in comparison to other states. I don't know, Carla Trotman, if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, I think many states still have a strong focus within their extension programs on the traditional four program areas that over the course of history there really has been an emphasis on, of course, agriculture and the family and youth development. And then certainly the development or the vitality of the local community. That really has not changed as a focus of extension over 100 years. But I would certainly say that within agriculture, we've looked at some, developing niches that have changed with the course of agriculture. So certainly we have strong IPM programs now that look at integrated pest management. There's certainly a strong interdisciplinary connection between agriculture and community development and food and families around sustainable local food systems. So states will take a different approach to that, but we're all focusing on it to some extent because it's really a strong movement right now, looking at the growth of local food systems at the community level. So I think there's urban niches, but there's always a strong flavor of agriculture, even at the urban level. So you'll have extension programs across the country that have really strong urban programs, but there's still some flavor of agriculture linked to that work that they're doing. So it's changed, but it's still present.
And Barry Dunn, before we wind up our conversation here, the future of the Extension Service, I suppose it's kind of hard to do a forecast when things are constantly changing, as we talk about the delivery system and also the changes in the ag industry as well.
Well, I'm excited, though, Carl. I'm sorry if I interrupted you, but I'm really excited about the future. In So in the age of information overload, which a lot of people feel that they're in, Extension has the opportunity and the responsibility to be the unbiased source of science-based information, to kind of cut through some of the fluff of the world and some of the information that might have a bias to it, and provide that trusted source. And certainly our benchmark survey that we've just completed is a strong indication that that's how people feel about us in South Dakota. And so I think that it's our job and it's our responsibility, and we look forward to doing it better and better.
And as people look for information, the place to go is igrow.org, is that correct?
Right. It's very easy to get to, either from a Google search or from any of the SDSU sites that one is on. One can get to iGrow very easily. We have newspaper articles we're using the newspaper very strongly, big articles in the Argus Leader and across the state every Sunday about gardening, and so that link is published very widely across the state in many different mediums, Carl, for people to access.
Well, Barry Dunn, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you. Thanks for your interest in our program.
And Carla Troutman, thanks for your time as well.
Thank you very much, Carl.
Barry Dunn is Dean of the College of Agriculture and Biological Sciences and Director of SDSU Extension, and Carla Troutman is SDSU Extension Associate Director. This month marks the 100th anniversary of SDSU Extension. For more information on SDSU Extension and research and everything else, you can visit, once again, igrow.org.